Hello and welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, I'm your host, Evan Sider, and I'm joined by co-host Brendan Kleen. You can follow me on Twitter at eSider. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanKleen14. Also, make sure you follow our Locked On Suns Twitter page if you aren't already at Locked On Paycheck Suns. Your support there is very much appreciated, as always. Brendan, we're here on our usual Tuesday episode. We're not going to be doing a recap to this Spurs game now because we wanted to hit on some topics that have happened recently with the Suns, and we don't want to get it on the back burner here. We saw the Woj report. We're going to touch on that with Trevor Ariza. We both expect him to be traded here in the next few days. So we're going to hit on that a lot in today's episode, guys. And then we're also going to hit on the Eric Moreland signing, which happened about 24 hours ago, which I think is a little bit of an interesting signing as far as filling the 14th spot goes, because Juwan Evans was only a two-way signing. So I imagine Moreland's going to be a one-year guy on a veteran's minimum. But Brendan, let's start with the Trevor Ariza news, because we thought this was inevitable at this point ever since really a month ago. But interesting enough, six days before the trade, not the trade deadline, but the December 15th deadline, as far as restrictions can be lifted off of guys like Trevor Ariza's contract, we already have a rumor from Woj saying that the Lakers want Trevor Ariza and they're willing to offer Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and a three-teamer, because the Suns obviously don't need a guy KCP back in the return. But what do you think overall about the Woj report, and do you think that it might be possibly a balloon drop or like a test trial by the Suns front office to see if they get even more people clamoring to get Ariza?
Yeah, I think that was, from the Suns' perspective, if some of their own leaking was involved in this report coming out, it would have been for exactly that, to kind of name their price for Ariza. Now, I don't know how likely that it is that they'll get what they ask for or what they want, which, as Woj reported, is a playmaking guard and a draft asset as the price of unloading Ariza. That seems like a pretty hefty value for a guy that, for all intents and purposes, is almost a lock to get bought out if they don't trade him. I think the real, you know, the point of trading for him now is A, to get in front of it where you're not having to just cross your fingers that he picks you in March. If the Suns were to buy him out, then you don't really have, everybody at that point is offering him the same contract and the same, you know, basic idea. So this would be, you know, let's go grab him. I don't know if that's enough to get you a starting point guard and a draft asset. That seems like quite a bit. The only way I could see some of that happening, which we'll get into in our second segment, is maybe if they take on long-term money from another team. That's another way to add value for a trade like this that might be able to get the Suns a pick or an extra player, something like that, a better player maybe. But altogether, I think this was the Suns outlining what they want, and then, you know, I think they're going to run into these types of problems with several different teams that might be interested in Ariza, because there's very few players that fit the mold of what the Suns need, which is a starting guard that make as much as him. So you start looking around and it quickly becomes obvious that you're either stacking a lot of guys on top of each other that the Suns don't need, or you're getting multiple teams involved, because Ariza makes $15 million and not a lot of guys make that much that are up for grabs at this point.
There's so many names too, Brent. I know we're going to hit on our second topic here as far as possible trades that make sense. I know you touched on your article as well when you broke the news on Brightside a few days ago with the Woj report. But if you're the Suns, what are you looking for in return here? Because I know Woj mentioned a playmaking point guard and a draft asset, which I think is a really good package for Ariza. I'm glad they brought that draft pick in there, because I think a guy like Ariza does deserve at least a second-round pick, if not like a late first-round pick, in my opinion, from a contender. But what do you think about just the package that the Suns are looking for? Because I think if they do get an asset back, which I think is helping restock their assets for an eventual superstar trade, if that whenever it comes available again. But also, I think it's not really much of a cost for them, because you get rid of a guy like Ariza who you just signed to a one-year deal, but you also get a pick out of him, possibly your point guard of the future.
Yeah, I mean, if they can get something close to that, that's obviously incredible. And it's would be a really impressive use of Trevor Ariza as an asset that I would not have expected in July when they signed him. That being said, you know, we haven't really seen this new general manager situation in action. They basically have done nothing since Ryan McDonough was fired, as far as, you know, improving the roster really at all. I mean, they added Jamal Crawford. He's been kind of what you would have expected, I think. And Juwan Evans hasn't actually played with the Phoenix team yet. So I'm a little bit pessimistic, to be honest, that they get to the point where you know, they really do make use and nail this deal. Maybe that's just pessimism for the sake of pessimism and, you know, give the guys a shot to do something before I am questioning their ability to improve the roster. But I just feel like, you know, they've had this opportunity, they've had several chances, and they're just inexperienced between James Jones and Trevor Buxton. These are two guys who have never been making these decisions. So to really nail a trade like that, it would be surprising. But, you know, I think if they're already getting traction on deals, maybe that's a sign that it is kind of appealing to other teams, a pretty big package like that, especially to get a third team mixed in where you're kind of pleasing multiple people. You can get a little more that way. So it looks like there's the makings of a deal that could really help the Suns. And I hope that it trends in that direction, because we know that they need, between assets and, you know, help this year, quite a bit.
I guess we both didn't think this would happen in July when they signed Ariza, right? As July 1 hit. But are you surprised about just Ariza and this possibility? Because I think me and you both thought that Ariza was going to be around for the entire season, but it seems like the worst case scenario is happening for the team this year, where they're 4-23 now, and there's really no use for him to stay around now.
Yeah, kind of a worst case scenario, I guess. I don't think anyone would have guessed that they would be this bad. They're worse at this point in the year than they were last year, and we've seen some really ugly games already this season. And I just think Trevor Ariza isn't the kind of player that has value on a team that has the types of weaknesses that this team has. You know, I think there's even certain young teams that his defensive versatility and floor spacing would help. I don't think it's just a matter of, oh, the Suns are young, so Ariza can't help them. But I think, you know, they are so inhibited by not having a point guard that, you know, his value of making open shots and kind of playing good team defense, stopping guys in isolation, you know, being a long defender that he is, that stuff just has no value on a team that is so limited by the playmaking structure of their roster, just the limitations there. So he was a guy playing with James Harden and Chris Paul last year, and so he looked a lot better. And, you know, what he brings is not going to improve this team, even if he stays over the course of the season. And I think he's clearly frustrated. And altogether, it kind of feels like this is going to get done over the weekend. We were now up to like two or three reports just since December hit of different iterations of talks or, you know, versions of the rumors. And he doesn't seem to be getting much happier in Phoenix. So it seems like this is going to wrap up soon. And I think you're exactly right that, you know, if they were to get anything close to it, close to what Woj listed as kind of their asking price, that would be a complete victory, even with the disappointment that I think Ariza's tenure as just a player has been here.
If you had nothing else to add as far as Ariza general topics go, we should probably go into our trades here, because I think it's really interesting. Before we go any further here, I wanted to tell you guys very quickly about the Locked On NBA Twitter page at Locked On NBA Net. If you're not already following them, please do so. Go to the Twitter app on your computer or on your phone, type in Locked On NBA Net and click that follow button, guys, because it's a really valuable asset. You can follow people like me, Brendan, and the rest of the Locked On crew. Not just if you want to get NBA news outside of Phoenix, not just the Suns, Locked On NBA Net allows you to do that. Follow every single NBA team, every single Locked On NBA podcast host. They bring you this stuff every day. So make sure to follow at Locked On NBA Net on Twitter.
Also want to tell you guys about a new sponsor we have on the show that we are incredibly excited about, and that is Homie. Now, you've probably seen the signs heading into games downtown or just commuting across the city. These guys started in Salt Lake City, and they are coming to Phoenix to really kind of revolutionize the home buying experience. Now, there's a lot of companies that have tried to do this, but I'm really excited about what these guys at Homie are doing. Evan and I talked to them, and we're really buying into what they're bringing. The biggest thing, you know, between paying the realtors on either side of a transaction and all the fees that come with going and trying to buy a house, Homie's really cutting all of that out. So that's their main goal. That's really what they're bringing to you. And that's going to be just $1,299. So on average, Homie customers are going to save $10,000. The company recently sold a $1 million home in record time and saved the homeowner over $60,000 in realty commissions. And this is the main difference here between Open Door or OfferPad, some of these companies that really try to screw you, even though they are making things a little bit smoother. Homey doesn't buy up the houses that they are helping to sell, or on the other end, you know, they're not trying to make back any of their money. They really are here to support you. They have customer service that's unparalleled as far as these types of companies go in the realty market, just tech companies. But it's not just the focus on tech. It's really the interpersonal focus as well. So if you sell your home this year, what Homey's going to be able to do for you is give you $100 off the listing fee. You can list your home or search for homes at homey.com using the promo code Locked On. And I just think what you guys really need to start with is go check these guys out. Go look up what they do. If you're looking to buy a house, this is definitely the company to look at. They're going to make the whole thing easier, the whole thing cheaper, and they're definitely there to support you. They have a team of realtors and attorneys, along with an easy-to-use interface online and on their mobile app. So new to the market, check them out. Make them your definite go-to if you're in the market to buy or sell a house here in Phoenix. All right, so let's move on to some ideas for Trevor Ariza. Like you said, I wrote about it on Brightside when the news first broke, but we've had a little bit more time to think about it now. And I think there's kind of a lot of possibilities, but at the same time, it's just dependent on what kind of team really values Ariza, because for a lot of the same reasons, he's not incredibly appealing to the Suns. That could be the same thing for other teams. You know, he's not a guy who's going to come in and completely change your roster, but I think on a winning team, he's going to make a difference.
Oh, for sure. I think if you're a fringe playoff contender, like you mentioned your story, Brian, like let's say Minnesota wants to make the playoffs this year. I think he makes a lot of sense there. The Lakers make a lot of sense. The Pacers make a lot of sense, in my opinion. There's even the Bucks, you want to go on with them. I mean, they just trade for George Hill, but if they go for another expiring like Trevor Ariza, that can make a lot of sense for them as well. But I'm pulling out the list here, Brendan, of the executives there at the game last night, because there were some pretty heavy hitters there. And I checked around as far as how powerful these guys were in the front offices, because I'm friends with some Nets writers and some Sixers writers. And from what I saw, Brennan, it seems like after that balloon report from the Suns about that Lakers thing, it might be some more interest coming from people around the league, because we saw Mark Eversley, who's the senior vice president of player personnel for the Philadelphia 76ers, who I found out who pretty much is the second in command there. So he wields a lot of power. Buzz Peterson, assistant GM of the Charlotte Hornets, that can make a lot of sense for a reason, because you could probably get him from maybe Tony Parker and Jeremy Lamb. Might not take much to get him. Then Spurs, they had Brian Wright, the assistant GM there, plus their head scout there. I know the Spurs are playing the Suns tonight, so it could be that thing, but I also could be a thing where the Spurs might want to make the playoffs and Ariza could really help them there. Maybe go to something like Derek White or something like that. But the Nets, who's really interesting to me, Trajan Langdon, the assistant GM, they're a possible facilitator, I think, for a point guard like Spencer Dinwiddie or D'Angelo Russell. Trajan Langdon was there last night, but he's also, according to Dwayne Rankin, he's traveling to San Antonio as well. So that's an interesting team. If you're looking for a third team, Brendan, I think the Nets are the early favorites as far as a third team goes, helping facilitate things with a point guard.
Yeah, I think, you know, they would be a team maybe that feels like, you know, with the Caris LeVert injury, and they've kind of fallen off a little bit without him playing at an all-star level like he was earlier in the season. They're probably on the outside looking in of the playoff race, but maybe they're still in the mode like they were when they didn't have their own first round pick, which they do now after the Boston stuff kind of finished out last year. They still might want to, you know, take on an asset or two at the service of getting the Lakers off of KCP's contract to let them acquire Ariza. I hate that. I favor Spencer Dinwiddie. As we've talked about a few times on this show, he's probably one of the bigger targets for the Suns. If they can get that done, bigger, like literally, he's a combo guard with really great size, defensive upside, still decently young, even though he was an older rookie when he started in the league. I like him a lot more than D'Angelo Russell. So I think if it was Dinwiddie, I'd be a little more on board. If it's Russell, I would need to kind of explore more if the Suns could get a little bit more than that back, because I think Russell brings a lot of limitations, but also, you know, productive enough and as far as counting stats go that he's probably going to have a pretty high price tag this summer.
Yeah, as far as the construct goes between these three teams, Byrne, here's what I came up with. I think KCP has to go out in any Lakers trade, in my opinion. So if we include him in a three-way with the Lakers, KCP's going out to not the Suns, but wherever else is in the deal. And here it's Brooklyn, which I think makes sense with Caris LeVert's injury. So KCP goes to Brooklyn. Ariza goes to the Lakers. but maybe if they want to get Spencer Dinwiddie, because I know you probably, you prefer Dinwiddie over Russell. I prefer Dinwiddie over Russell, at least right now. I want to see more of D'Angelo Russell and see how he plays, but something like maybe KCP and Elia Kobo and the Bucks pick to Brooklyn, Ariza to the Lakers, and then Dinwiddie and Kenneth Faried to the Suns. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I really feel like maybe what I should say is, like, if it's not Dinwiddie, I don't know how interested I am. I just think I really don't know what value Russell has as a starting point guard. Super inefficient player, doesn't have a lot of the defensive potential. He's not a great athlete, not very long, or doesn't have a lot of positional size. So, you know, if he improves there, you know, great, but I think you're going to have to pay him like a better player than he currently is. And I don't know if locking Russell down as part of kind of this team's core makes a whole ton of sense. But if we can pivot to another one, I mean, and for perspective too, I want to throw in the Kyle Korver trade that happened last week or the week before between Cleveland and Utah, just to kind of provide some perspective. It's the only deal like this that's gone down, but I think they're decently similar players. I think Ariza probably has a little bit more value because of his defense, because of his positional versatility. Maybe not quite as good of a shooter as Korver, obviously, but the Cleveland Cavaliers got two future seconds. That's the Wizards 2021 pick and Cleveland's own 2020 pick. So pretty decent. I mean, those aren't great teams. Those, you could easily imagine those being in the first half of the second round, place where you could actually draft a good player. And Alec Burks, the Cavs got. So, you know, if you imagine Ariza is a little bit more valuable, I do think that they are going to be able to get something in return. The one that I kind of like as far as a team that could actually use KCP, you mentioned it a minute ago, Minnesota. I think that one is a little bit more simple as well because, I don't know, because we were talking about this yesterday, right? They don't have the salaries really to make it work incredibly smoothly, but Tyus Jones is just sitting there very really not used at all, to be honest. Plays like 12 to 15 minutes a game. He's just Jeff Teague's backup. He doesn't play with Teague at all. Doesn't play off the ball at all. He's just the backup point guard there, and they have Derrick Rose on that team. So he feels like the guy who could really just be movable more than anyone else at this point. And I think the Wolves would play KCP quite a bit. I think that seems like a guy Tibbs would like, somebody who can create his own offense, has some, at least a little bit of upside on defense, but it's just tough to make that trade work.
Yeah, I'm looking at their roster now, Minnesota's. I love Tyus Jones. He'd make a lot of sense here. By the way, just ironic that Zach Lowe in his prediction piece for the season mentioned Tyus Jones going to the Suns, so we'll see if that comes true. But I think with the salaries going Minnesota's roster, Brent, I like KCP in Minnesota, but you have to take on either Taj Gibson's expiring contract, who's a Timber Bull. He's one of Tom Thibodeau's final guys standing right now. Or Gorgui Dieng, you take on his salary for another year or plus, which I don't want to do at 15. He's going to be $17 million next year, and that's a lot of money for a guy like Gorgui Dieng. So I wonder if maybe Tyus Jones and Taj Gibson gets done, and maybe you have to throw in the pick to make it sweetener for Thibodeau because he's getting another Chicago Bull.
Yeah, it's – I mean, I don't think you have to give him anything just because he's getting get rid of a Bull. I don't think Gibson's – I think it's just a matter of I don't know if it really just makes sense with Gibson. I don't know. He's their starting four right now. Šarić, they have Jang. They have a lot of guys at that position, Anthony Tolliver as well. I wouldn't be completely surprised if they were to include Gibson, and I think he's a guy who really could play for the Suns, be a backup four for them, especially with Ariza obviously leaving in this deal if it did come true. He's kind of their backup four most nights right now. So Gibson would play for the Suns. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, but I think he means a lot to that Timberwolves team off the court and on it. So it's tough to imagine, but we can probably go rapid fire through a few more options. The other one that I included was the Pacers. And then we probably can talk about the Hornets just because Buzz Peterson was at the game. And that seems like a team who could really benefit from having Ariza. But the Pacers was the one I mentioned just because we've talked about Corey Joseph and Darren Collison on this show for weeks now as guys who could come loose, especially with Aaron Holiday playing pretty well in limited minutes right now for them. He's maybe somebody who could take on a bigger role as the season goes along. But do you think there's any sort of ideal match there as far as Collison makes a decent amount of money? So I think you're pretty close to making a deal that works with just sending Collison out of Indiana.
Yeah, if it's just a straight two-team deal, a reason for Collison makes so much sense. I don't think they have to include much. The Pacers do maybe just a second-round pick because Collison steps in right away as a starting point guard day one from the Suns. He might be a guy to keep around for another year or two. And to be honest, it makes so much sense with Melton and Okobo. But Ariza would really help them, the Pacers, go against Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Boston, Toronto, because I think Indiana is one piece or two pieces away from really contending with those teams, and maybe they think Ariza could help them with that. But if we're including a three-teamer here, let's just keep with the Lakers here, just for example. It's interesting enough that the salary works perfectly if you send Collison to Phoenix, KCP to the Pacers, who need another 3-and-D wing, and Ariza to the Lakers.
Yeah, I think that's another one that makes sense. I think, I mean, KCP, I don't really know if he's a 3-and-D wing, but I think the Pacers would play him, right?
Yeah, I think he'd be getting at least 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a little bit of a better fit than – they just have a lot of guys who, like, play point guard. That's sort of the problem. I think they could use some guys that fit a little better off the ball, a little bit of a better shooter. I think KCP just maybe is another option for them that kind of clears the rotation out a little bit, has some more athleticism than somebody like Darren Collison or Corey Joseph does too. So maybe, you know, provide some lineup stability. They also have Tyreke Evans, which makes things a little easier for them because they have him as a bigger defender. So he can, you know, play the one or the two on offense, but defend bigger players. So he makes things a little easier on them. I kind of like that deal. I'm falling more for the Collison idea the more that I think about it, just because the idea of what Isaiah Kanan was supposed to be is kind of exactly what Darren Collison already is. And was a great shooter last year, kind of fell off a little bit this year, but you know, he's a guy who's going to make open threes and move the ball in a smart, you know, make smart decisions as a veteran player. And he's going to fight on defense, even if he is undersized. So I like that as an option. Are there any other deals that stick out to you, maybe with the Hornets?
Yeah, as far as the Hornets go, really quickly on the Pacers, I wanted to touch on Aaron Holiday. He's really starting to emerge over the past few weeks, so it makes sense for him to get rid of Joseph Collison, in my opinion, because with the way Aaron Holiday's been playing for Indiana, I think he deserves rotation minutes, and maybe Collison for KCP or Ariza makes a lot of sense there. But with the Charlotte Hornets deal, like you mentioned there, Brennan, I think it makes sense because if you think about it, they do need a wing. They need Kemba Walker's going to be a free agent after this year. They might think they need to go all in after him. Right now, they lead their division, which is one of the worst divisions in basketball right now. But Kemba Walker will not be traded. So I know some's going to be like, oh, should we get Kemba out of this deal? No, I don't think it's going to happen. It will take at least like 3 or 4 first round picks. And at that point, it'd be way too much, in my opinion. But Ariza makes a lot of sense in Charlotte, Brendan, because I talked to you about this yesterday, but Trevor Ariza and Kevin Love make a lot of sense next to Kemba Walker, because from Charlotte's point of view, I don't think many players are going to want to come to Charlotte. And if you really want to build long-term around Kemba Walker for 5 years, locking in Kevin Love for 4 years and then locking in maybe Ariza for an extension too, that team is going to be really fun and makes a lot of sense. But as far as a deal goes, I think Ariza for Tony Parker and Jeremy Lamb, Parker has 2 years left on his deal and Jeremy Lamb's an expiring, plus maybe a second round pick. I think that makes sense for all sides.
Yeah, I think it would be probably somebody besides Lamb. I kind of feel like, you know, he's really grown as a player in Charlotte and he starts for them. I think if they were trading Lamb and Parker, and both of those guys don't play Ariza's position, so they would be losing some depth there. I think that would force, you know, Ariza would kind of push them closer to being, you know, a team that really wants to make a playoff push and all that. And then, you know, now you're out, you're starting two and you're backup one, and you're putting guys like Malik Monk and Miles Bridges, Dwayne Bacon in way bigger roles than you want to be. But I mean, do you think Monk would be available? I know he's really not a one, but if you think about putting him in a mix with Okobo and Melton for the rest of the season, Juwan Evans, if he grows into something a little better than he was last year here in Phoenix, does that appeal to you at all? Just putting Monk in there and then maybe, you know, just one of these expiring deals on Charlotte's books from, you know, Cody Zeller to Bismack Biyombo or something like that.
Yeah, I think it does, because just to let people know, Malik Monk was the first first prospect the Suns worked out in the 2017 draft process. He was the first workout I actually saw for Brightside of the Sun when I started joining the team. But I think Monk makes a lot of sense in the Eagle offense just to try it out, see what happens. But if we're not going to include Jeremy Lamb in this deal, who makes $7.5 million, like you said, Brendan, it'd have to be one of Bismack Biyombo's contract, Marvin Williams, Cody Zeller, or Michael K. Gilchrist. One of those four guys. I think all those guys go through the 2020 season. So would you roll the dice on either Biyombo or Marvin Williams or MKG and take on a guy like Monk?
Oh, that's true. They have player options, and probably most of those guys will pick those up. Maybe not all of them. Maybe Michael Kidd-Gilchrist thinks he could make more than $13 million. Probably the other two guys will pick those up. I think Marvin Williams is a guy who fits decently well next to Ayton. I wouldn't hate taking that contract on and getting a chance at Malik Monk. It's not maybe the top of my list as far as these deals we've discussed, but I think Monk is a guy who still has a lot of potential. He's one of the youngest prospects in that draft, has combo guard potential, still not really where he needs to be physically, just growing into his body. So if you feel like you could develop him, I think that's a risk worth taking. And Williams is somebody who could play pretty big minutes, fill, you know, the Ryan Anderson role on this team. So I think that's a decent deal. I think that's pretty much perfect salary wise too, but we should probably move on to Eric Moreland to close out things, because we got a little excited with the trades.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But before we go on to Eric Moreland, I want to tell you guys about a different Locked On part of our page here, which is Locked On NBA Net, but it's Instagram. It's the exact same as the Twitter account, Locked On NBA Net. I know some of our followers use Instagram out there. I know some people in like college, high school listen to this podcast, and also people use Instagram more nowadays because it's starting to really take over as far as social media goes. Right now, Locked On NBA Net, we have about 2,300 followers over on Instagram. So if you use Instagram, if you're an avid user of that app, please go follow at Locked On NBA Net, because we're starting to do some really cool pictures and video stuff with some audio from the podcast, some clips from David Locke, went from his live broadcast on the Jazz game. There's a lot of really really fun stuff on the Locked On NBA Net Instagram page. So make sure you go follow my Instagram at Locked On NBA Net.
Yeah, I want to tell you guys as well about Action Heat, a sponsor you've heard about for a while now. As the weather is getting a little bit colder, starting to travel for the holidays and kind of get into the part of the year when you need to stay warm, Action Heat's doing some really cool stuff with engineering warm clothing by putting heat panels into jackets, socks, gloves, hats, even undergarments like base layer shirts and long johns. So they really just want to keep you cozy and warm with this cool, innovative technology. It's a 5-volt lithium battery that lasts up to 12 hours. You can use it all day, and it's perfect for really anyone on your holiday gift list. There's men's clothing, women's clothing, and a bunch of new styles and models to look through for this holiday season, whether you want to get it as a gift or just to keep somebody warm, keep yourself warm this season. It's pretty much the perfect option. Make winter activities way more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is the perfect solution, even in the most frigid winter weather. So what we're going to give you here is 20% off your entire order by going to actionheat.com/lockedon. That's all one word, the name of the show, just like always. Or use the promo code, the coupon code, LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20% off your entire order. Stay toasty and warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. All right, so the Eric Moreland stuff is probably not anything we need to spend too long on, other than to just say, I'll start off with my initial reaction, which was just, I don't understand it at all. And one thing we didn't know last night with the game recap was Igor Kochkov threw in a little tidbit when he was talking about that 3-guard lineup with Troy Daniels out there that kind of got the Suns a bigger lead in the fourth quarter. Is he was talking about all the different stuff that they've considered with TJ Warren out, with Devin Booker out, and he said they've thought about playing Holmes and Ayton together. So maybe this is what this deal is all about. Signing Eric Moreland, we're going to go with DeAndre Ayton at power forward sometimes. That's really exciting.
Oh, I really hope that's not the case, because Igor said, he's been adamant about this, DeAndre Ayton is his center. He's only a center. He's never going to play anything but center. I don't want to see him stretch. I mean, it's not worrisome. I think it's part of his development that he needs to start doing this earlier, but he's practicing more and more 3-point shots during pregame now. He never used to do that before this week. So maybe you are right. Maybe they are considering Ayton starting to stretch the floor a bit more, and I don't think that makes any sense. But Eric Moreland, do you think him and Rashawn Holmes kind of cancel each other out? Because I was talking to you about this last night. I don't think you can play Eric Moreland and Rashawn Holmes simultaneously.
No, I don't think you can play any of these three bigs simultaneously. And we've already seen a really strong season from Rashawn Holmes. I mean, just to give people a little bit of an idea of what Moreland is, I mean, he's really just an energy big. He's almost exactly like Holmes. He played with Detroit last year as a backup center, basically, for them. You know, not terrible player. I mean, he's a productive guy when he's on the court. 6.4 points and 12.4 rebounds, 2.3 blocks per 36 minutes last year. Played 800 minutes, so really not a huge role for them. But he was on the court 67 games for Detroit and hadn't signed with another team this year so far. So, I mean, it's not a bad player, not a terrible option to try to develop. But I think it's exactly like the chance they just took on Rashawn Holmes, and that's gone well. So, you know, we were talking like, okay, well, Ryan Anderson's not playing, Dragan Bender's not really playing, those guys have underperformed. So you understand the idea of trying to get a backup big in there, somebody who can, you know, especially assuming Ariza will be gone soon, they're going to need another guy who can play the four. But I just don't think that's Moreland. You know, he doesn't shoot. He's pretty big. He's not a guy who's going to be able to defend the small power forwards in the league like Rudy Gay tonight. So it just doesn't make a ton of sense to me where he fits on this roster. And this was an outright signing. I mean, they can still cut him again, I guess, but it wasn't a two-way deal and it wasn't, you know, a non-guaranteed contract. I mean, this is a guy who's going to be around the rest of the season from what it looks like. And I just don't see where he plays. And to me, when you have so little talent on the roster right now, it doesn't make any sense to play a guy who obviously has no role the minute you sign him.
Here's what I'm thinking, though. I mean, because after Isaiah Cannon was waived, the Suns had a two-week grace period to sign someone. So it was right before the December 15th deadline. I think the deadline was December 12th, if I'm not mistaken, where they had to sign someone before then to take that 14th roster spot. So maybe just replacing Tyson Chandler's roster spot with a third center. I know Alan Williams, the third center last year, he didn't really play unless Tyson sat out games. So maybe this is what Eric Moreland's role is now with Rashawn Holmes, unless he gets hurt. But maybe in garbage time lineups, you could see maybe Moreland at center as the third string center, maybe Dragan Bender as power forward when the Suns wave the white flag on games. But that's the only time I can really see Moreland playing much.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. And it's not a terrible idea to have a guy like that. And, you know, Rashawn Holmes is going to be a free agent. You can never have too much big man depth. And I think they're facing the reality that Ryan Anderson just isn't really an option for this team. So, I mean, it's a silly move to complain about, but I just think that there's much higher upside players that fit better with this roster. To have an open roster spot in the middle of the season is kind of valuable. You know, you can take a G League guy who's having a big year or a big stretch. You can, you know, gobble up a guy who gets cut from another team if you wait until there's, you know, somebody that gets jarred loose from another roster. So, you know, it's inconsequential. If Eric Moreland is deciding the season for the Suns, things will already have gotten pretty bad. But it just kind of struck me as a little bit silly. I guess the one thing too to mention would just be, the Suns probably already have an idea of a few different constructions of Trevor Ariza trades because we are only 4 days away. So maybe they feel like they're getting players in that deal that will kind of make Moreland make a little bit more sense if they shore up the backcourt depth with a guard or maybe two guards in the Ariza deal. Then they feel more comfortable with Moreland being on the bench for them. So obviously a lot in flux right now, but it just was a weird one. It didn't jump out to me as the smartest decision on how to fill that roster spot. But again, 14th roster spot should not be making or breaking your season. Let's hope it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. The Suns do play tonight. We're not going to be doing our usual recap episode because we're recording now. It will be out before the game starts. But thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow for our next episode.